TimSlips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
I made it to the show. It was kind of a long startup, folks. This is Bill Grant, your host of not Dreamer, but Argonne on Saturday nights. This is Saturday night, 10 to 4, although it's 10:05, just that second, right exactly when I said it. It did switch. Time Lords do that, you know. Anyway, this is Argon on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. A listener-supported station. Hopefully you've been supporting the station, donating any way you can. And I thought I had extra time tonight. Then I noticed it was 10:01 when everything's starting up. Internet wasn't connecting, even though it was connected this time. I didn't forget. And Skype took extra time to sign in. Had to do the longer restart this time, although I did not try to delete any. Let me see if there's any Google things on here right now. Didn't seem like it. It didn't do the complete. Yeah, there is. Damn it. Another installer. Get rid of that. It installed, like they install immediately. They just load things up, change things as fast as they damn well can. Got to get rid of them. Oh, wait, I just missed one. It's moving. My eyes are a little blurry. Google installer, got to get rid of it. And goodbye. Got to go in and find out what they've added and what might be active. Let me just double check here. Anyway, I'm not exactly sure. I have a few things to talk about. I might actually try to add some people a little bit later. I ran out of time today. It was just too damn hot. So it went from too cold to too hot. And it looks like I'm sort of running out of time in a way. I'm not sure how much time I have to do everything I need to do. Thought there was sort of an understanding of a process. Let me get rid of this. And so it doesn't interfere with the show. Get rid of that. And let me see if there's any more Google installers. It's because I don't have a battery and everything shuts down when it's not plugged in. I mean, I have one. It's pretty much useless. It might work for a minute or 5 minutes or something like that. 10 probably tops-ish. And so everything goes into, like tomorrow night won't be the same. This is a little better, I think. No, it's almost a full restart. It actually didn't take as much this time. Anyway, I'll talk a little bit about free energy. I did find a special book that I protected, as I usually do. I found Solaris Blue Raven's book she sent to me a few years ago, that I got to read half of, and I began to read some more a little bit again, but it was too dark. And I hope to have time pretty soon to finish it. I'll probably start from the beginning, but that is the older one, the last book, or the book before the last book, 1 Million Miles Till Midnight, of which she refers to once in a while. And then the extended underneath that main title would be Between the Mirror and the Lens. Basically her journeys, and which led to her problem she talks about, which she used to have, not so much anymore. All right, let me double check. Anyway, finally everything's hooked up. And let me double check one more thing. Task scheduler. That's where you need to double check because, nope, nothing was added. Because, I mean, they, like Google and stuff, the updates, sometimes just immediate. Computer turns on, bam, update. Just messes everything up. And I don't trust any of them anymore. I don't want anything to update on my computer without me knowing about it. We're making it happen, and I still don't trust them anymore. Do have my coffee in a jar this time. Not just the plastic thing I thought of bringing last time, but easier to put in a jar because you can't really pour stuff. Man, there's so many stupid little problems. Now I got a freaking Boris out there. I'm not sure. I don't think I killed it. 3.5-inch spider. Looks like freaking, I don't know if it's a wolf spider. I can't remember. There's two large natural spiders, if not three. There's like the wolf spider, the recluse. I forgot if the recluse is kind of small, can be small to medium, or if it's one of those giant ones that can be small while it's growing or whatever. And two other giant ones that are hairy that if they bite you, you can get real sick enough to die or have a heart attack or complications for a long time, like days, weeks kind of thing. And either way, you don't want to get bit by it. I don't have time to lose. And I have enough aggravations in my life. However, that's why for a couple days I thought the mouse, not my mouse, a new mouse or rat, still don't know what the hell it is. It's kind of been moving in, kind of calmed down a couple nights. Like, oh, good. Maybe it'll stay gone for a while. Maybe finally scared it off. No, it was probably running away from getting eaten by the damn spider. The spider's two or three times bigger than the mouse. Spider will probably eat the mouse. I'm thinking it's probably better to let the spider eat the mouse. I'm not sure which. I was hoping the mice would eat all the spiders. And I saw that one crawling up the wall, sitting back in the half dark. I'm like, ah, spider. And I'm not like super paranoid or anything like that, but I mean, you don't want to go to sleep with spiders around. You do get bit while you roll over, and they do cause problems. And even if they don't bite you on purpose, their fangs kind of, you sort of stick yourself onto their fangs if you kind of crush them. And you could be allergic to them specifically, especially as you change in age, you change in allergy types. You go from, you have different benefits versus problems, risks over when you're a baby, a toddler, growing up, teenager, and so on, just like virus issues and corona issues and all that. And how you're treated is different depending on your age for those reasons. What you're susceptible to is completely different from when you're young compared to when you're older. And that goes with allergies as well, because you may not be allergic to something growing up, but then later become allergic to it. And you may be allergic to it from the start and then grow out of it and then maybe develop different allergies. And or you were allergic to something, you kind of got used to it from, I used to eat a lot of shrimp, and the less I ate, the more, when I tried to kind of go back to it, I was not able to, at least it didn't seem like it, because at least the way it affects your throat, and I might have been just fine in many cases. If you, like I was allergic to shrimp, and I used to love it. I ate a ton of it as a kid, and over time, I became allergic to it when I used to have tons of other allergies. But if you go back to eating something that you're now allergic to, or become a lot more allergic to than you were, a little bit at a time, you can overcome the allergy. You can build up an immunity, a resistance, a cleansing effect, you might say, to it, a neutralization effect. Your body may not overreact to it. And kind of like, I think I'm like halfway there. I would probably not die or anything, swell up too much if I had a handful, or maybe, I don't really know though. But spider, giant hairy spider, about 3.5 inches long, not folded out. I mean, no, legs kind of sticking up. Not sticking out. Like if it was flattened out, it would be 4 inches, maybe bigger. And we have those spiders that crawl under the water, crawl down walls and stuff, and they catch little fish and they eat them. They catch fish. And I think those are the wolf spiders. I can't remember. But they have the bubbles get trapped in their hair. The air bubbles, so they can stay underwater and kind of still breathe or absorb the oxygen through their skin or something, or maybe suck on the air bubbles or something. And they're pretty big. I think that's, it might be what it, I don't know, it looks a little different. I thought it's kind of different, kind of the same, probably the same family. So I got that issue. And like if I caught that thing, I'd be worried about putting it in my mouse tank with my Omicron little mouse. I'd be worried for my mouse. It would be a battle. Like I don't know which one would win. And my mouse might go right for it, chew it down. My spider might go for the mouse, get it pretty immediately. Once it gets its fang in there one time, it'd be down. and then that's it. You'd be like paralyzed or stinging in pain, or you'd be choking from allergies, something like that. Then you'd be spider food. Damn, I always knew the name. I was just talking about it too. I mean, lately. I can't even think about it. Can't think of it right now. Anyway, this is Argon and Revolution Radio. Hopefully you donated. And if you can donate to any of us hosts, like myself, Bridget, and others, of which I wish I was able to listen to, but I am not anymore. And for the moment, I only have internet on the weekends. Still gradually working things back out in the carport so I can have a setup where I can have something out there. And once I finish that, the idea is eventually move out of the carport into the tent, bring a lot of the stuff in the tent, move a lot of the stuff that's in the carport that would be finally readied for outdoors, and merge it into the other gigantic pile I have, fix the other stuff sort of scattered around the pile, make it look better, make it ready to leave behind if I have to leave it behind, and then just go maybe on foot. Or the idea is for me to have internet for a while so I can start reaching out to my past. I don't know if I have time for that now. Now it's just, it probably just not even going to be even living in the tent. Just bam, I'm not sure. Things are kind of up in the air for me. I'm getting everything packed. I have had help with the donations, which helped me cover a lot of my cardboard and paper stuff, which is ultra important. It's literally ultra important. It's not just about my life. It's about a lot of people's lives and the whole future of mankind, to be honest. And it's pretty much it's not being treated like trash or anything exactly, but it's not something really on anyone's worry list, put it that way. But if I start selling anything pretty soon, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm trying to build up to a point where I can I have a program in my mind on how to do a gradual bridge to super great stuff. Super low cost things, the lower information at lower quality for the lower cost, which will create greater and greater, better and better and better stuff to ultra awesome things and programs and plans and literally a library and maybe a museum even, things like that. Shop and great, awesome art maybe, hopefully, as well. But being a host and being in the predicament I am in leaves me with further predicaments. You're not supposed to know my plans. That's how they work. That was really the only way in which they were going to work. And they're blown to shit. They're blown to frickin' hell. Because of the weird circumstances, the twists and turns and misleading predictability. The unpredictability and the ups and downs are just too damn much to handle in a short period of time under the circumstances. So I'm probably going to need some people's help still that I was hoping I wouldn't continue to need help with. But I'm probably going to for a while, and ultimately, with your help, I'll make it through over the damn hill again, finally. I've made it to the top of the hill. I just never went down the other side. I made it right to the very top and maybe even a little bit over the other side. I've gotten out of the trench. But I was pushed back, like I said, violently again and again. But one more step than I've ever been able to take in the past. Well, it'll all be rolling from there on. Pretty much nothing will be able to stop me from that point. To try to help you help yourself and to help each other and to stave off and hold back the onslaught that's going on around the world, of which I'm totally blind to right now. Been blind to completely for a long time. I mean, I walk in the house, talk to a few people once in a while, see what's on TV in the background while we're talking. The basic stuff I used to watch. And it does make for some good examples, actually, sometimes. Like Green Acres was on the night before in the background. Little pipe art thing. I probably saw it when I was a kid. I kind of remember it. Like the woman, the blonde woman or whatever, the famous Eva, what's her name? Oh, I forget. Everyone. Normally I would kind of know, but things like that aren't on my mind. Survival, getting through each day and night is on my mind. Like just beating noise into the rat ding coming in. I call thing one or beast one. Still not sure if it's more than a mouse. I found my trash. That was taken out, put aside on its way to go to the trash can. Found it while I was inside talking too long, while everything was in the dark, which I'm usually inside until nighttime when I hook up electricity for a short period of time when there's lights and I can see and prevent things from going on. Well, while I was gone, of course, the thing found the trash. Now it's back. It pulled my stuff apart. Now it wants to keep coming back. I'm not sure if I'm going to kill it. I hate to kill things. And I have my little box of poison. It's out. It's not placed in place. I want to catch the thing. I don't have time to do the Billy bottle stuff right now. I'm not sure. It might be a rat. It might be a mouse. If it's a mouse, I'll probably toss it in with my little Omicron. And see, if I was in chat, I'd ask opinions. I mean, I have important stuff. I cannot let the thing chew up. It's not really getting into that yet, at least. So I'm kind of holding back, and I really don't have time to deal with it. But I may have to put poison out and have to make sure dogs and cats don't get it and the thing doesn't drag it off, got to hide it, and put it in one of those little cube square things, sort of a trap. They go in and nibble it on the inside. They can't really take it with them kind of thing. But poison hurts things really bad. It's a deadly, it's a painful death for them. And if you would just have them as a pet, they're ultra cute. Thing would probably just run on a wheel all day and night, just like my other one. Just look up at you real cute. Hello. And just go on its way. Thank you for the food. Thanks for the fish. Not really. That's dolphins. But anyway. I don't know what to do. I'm trying to speed up. The cold has been hindering me. The lack of permanent electricity has been hindering. Being on the floor, ground is hindering. When it wind blows and when the storm, it's a slow process. Working everything down so it can get into the tent. And then from the tent, I work everything down into the yard to prepare while I look for a place to possibly move, possibly go to. And to try to get back in touch with old friends from the past. People I would hopefully become business partners with might fix my life instantly. I might be able to get free energy out in a month. I mean, technically I really could if I had the right place and the right people, but probably be a day. But man, if I had this stuff in front of me, I could throw it together probably in 5 minutes. Just the demonstration alone would be like, man, things like what I do or would do are like, this is coffee in a jar, by the way, I'm getting a sip. A lot of people in the past, just to look at it, just to look at it, $10 million, just to look at it. None of this crap about the past and how things are done, that's all bullshit. That's for the little man. That's for the average person who does average things the average way, the average amount of time with average future plans. Not a revolutionary. Not somebody who understands real big business, insider trading and all that. Military this and gag orders that and just the stifling of information, the holdback and all the excuses why for military purposes. And government and financial collapse problem issues, all exaggerations, kind of plausible. In some cases plausible, but we're always full of moles. All technology has always been known by all the enemies. Everything's been sold. Everything's been figured out. Everybody has everything. They don't have every single bit of everything. Not all the details, not all the machines, not all the really good, good high tech and high quantity. Of course, for a long time, we've been undercut and undersold and sold out for so long. Just given away like thousands of years of hard work to like just tribal idiots, just violent freaking morons across the globe living like kings and queens. Not even that. That's like a thousand times better than gold kings and queens. I had a dream I walked upon a castle too. After sort of a little carpet ride, gliding ride, finally landed on the ground along the highway. I'm looking at these weird paths along the side of the woods with the weird wall. You can kind of go down it. It's a castle. Not sure what it means yet. And then some other things with actors again and stuff and politicians again. But I forgot what else I was probably going to tell everybody. But White Castle. I walked up to White Castle, talked to the guard, and there's something else, some other things that are kind of important. I can't remember. But anyway, I really hope to read this book. I'm going to read it, hopefully have time. Start from the beginning, go through all of it as quick as I can, if I can do it. But this is one of the ones I have with me. And as a matter of fact, I have, along with it, one of our other hosts and friends of the station here, Jim. I don't know if you'd want, everyone would know who I'm talking about if I, not Fetzer, but got a bunch of discs in here given to me from the past. Let me put that under there. Got my little magnifying lens thing this time too if I need to read. It'd be kind of a hassle, but might need to. But anyway, hopefully you donated to the station. Again, this is a donation station. We do need your help to keep free speech alive. We are a free speech station. Let me check for notes. I can't move the mouse right. And let me see. Kind of a lot of messages. I wonder why I sort of dreamed of an old actress last night. Nothing fancy, just. It's like somebody was asking me about her and about a few people like her, connected to her. Like it's like a Valerie or something from the past. Nobody I think about or watch. I mean, she used to be good looking or anything and everything. But she kind of reminds me of Kate Daly. Daly Daly. I don't know why. It might be something about her in the news. And I had a weird thing about Ron Paul. I'm wondering if Ron Paul is okay or in the news again lately. It's a like a big Ron Paul head, kind of a live head on the wall, like only like 5 feet wide kind of thing. I get to pat him on the shoulders and sort of the back and say, hey, you know, something, something. He's smiling. Everything seemed okay. He's with a bunch of friends, like other politicians or whatever. Kind of wondering what that meant too. It seemed a lot like him anyway. I'm wondering, I mean, hopefully he's fine. He seemed fine. Hopefully he didn't kick the bucket. I've heard a lot of people have been kicking the bucket lately. And just kind of, you never know who's going to be next out there. Politically and sports-wise and all that. And a lot of old rock stars getting up there, stuff like that. And anyway, no messages from here. I mean, kind of. Too many things to read on air either way, so I am not going to do that, but make sure there's no installers again. A lot of Google stuff there. Because they kind of slip in after you turn on. Like, there'll be immediate ones, and there'll be ones that kind of hesitate. And then you'll get those that hesitated. There'll still be some coming a little late after that. And they'll be loading up on your computer. And if that happens during the show, it may collapse my computer and it may never come back on again. It'll probably come back on again. Oh, see, there's one right there. I knew it. Got to do the whole process tree. Phew, gone. Now, see, that was a late one. It was like an extra late one. And it was like more than Johnny Come Lately kind of thing. I used to be a Johnny Come Lately kind of. And kind of, sort of. I'm still trying to figure out my school and places I used to live. I remembered one Christmas kind of extra that I haven't remembered. I forgot most of my birthdays and Christmases. And I was going to talk a little bit more, read some specific things out of the Sunday Journal thing I read about my friend's brother, Chuck Day story, one of the original warning signs that warned me ahead of time, which partly made me who I am today, which kept me in the alternative science, alternative viewpoint, alternative news, warning kind of observation kind of lifestyle growing up. So I knew before most people did, because my friend's brother died, and he did definitely say directly, doesn't say that in the article, if you know what I'm talking about, that I have been talking about, exactly that he knew. He kind of made it sound like he was unconcerned, but he did know. He did tell the family. He did tell the family. They were on the dishes, and their friends were on the radar dishes. They were cleaning them and maintaining them. And they were on. They were working when they were on them. They were on giant ones. They were on the towers and the dishes. So they were installing the new towers, microwave comm systems, and very powerful ones, and working on the radar. It was both. And they did know, and they did tell them they were on, and others were being damaged and suing and or complaining and getting hurt in the Navy. And I never had time to look up. I mean, I don't have internet. I can't do anything. And like, it's kind of funny. Friends of mine ask me, got in touch with people from you? I'm like, until I'm finished moving everything into place and packing things down, which I can't really get to the store most of the time when I kind of, it can only go once in a while to get to buy this stuff to put everything in, and I need to go through it first and consolidate and organize and fix things before I do that, and before I know what I need, so I don't waste money, so I do it properly. And like, no, that like I don't have internet. And I won't be able to go through old names and addresses and numbers, write long letters to anyone, talk on the phone to anyone, type or email or check email for anyone about anything at all. It won't be a while, and I'm hoping I have time. And I don't know if I do. So it's very stressful. I mean, I was thinking about not coming on air tonight, because I'm just like, life is getting to me. And it's like, man, sleeping with spiders and freaking rats and killing these big black red things and crawling all over the place once in a while. It'll probably be okay. I know it's probably going to be fine. I might go down in my mouth when I'm trying to. It's like, I'm not going to bed with a mask on, just like I'm not wearing a mask outside. See, that's what everyone would say these days. Just put a mask on. You don't sleep with a mask on? You're weird. Isn't that weird? You're breathing in like oxygen, and you're not worried about dust and stuff? Corona and germs and spiders especially. I mean, that's another reason to put a mask on. Another reason to sleep with a mask on. Better put two. A spider could get through one. God, those fangs would probably get through four of them. It might want five to be sure. And the green spiders probably don't like green, right? Might scare them away, right? Yeah, sure. Should go with that. Yeah, I know. I'm not sleeping with a mask on. I could barely sleep with like a thin sheet over my head. I had to pull my sheet out to put over my head. I don't like doing that, never mind wearing a mask over. I'm not wearing a mask over my face. Not when I sleep, not in daylight, not in a store. Wore one at a bank once because I thought I was going to have to open up an account there, which was a waste of my time and money, and I lost money ultimately. Here, since I've been here. And that was the only time I wore, I might have wore a mask. Well, I had a mask with me just in case in a couple places because I was doing a favor and they didn't ask me to just walk confident, act like you're going to be trouble if they ask you about it. You're going to be arguing, just, you know, walk on past. Most people are cut down on the masks where I'm from now quite a bit, thank God. And I don't know what the hell, if they claimed another pandemic out there anyway since or not. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Sooner or later, they're going to release real stuff. One way or another, they'll probably release nerve gas. They're going to get you with the nanotech. You got to seal up anyway. You got to seal up, like, you got to seal your car. You got to seal your house. You got to make yourself airtight. You got to get yourself plants indoors. Get yourself oxygen, carbon recycling, biodome stuff. I mean, seriously, I mean, get ready for the future. You're going to be needing, like, laser security, like laser walls. You're going to need zapping laser arc welding kind of blasters. I mean, the nanotech eventually is coming out. They don't even care what happens until that point. They're going into all the food, all the air, all the water, all the products they sell you, every bottle, every jar, every cap, this lid right here, see that lid? That's going to have nanotech in it. They'll probably bore their way right out of it, and then they'll fly through the air or crawl across the desk and land in your mouth instead of spiders. They'll end up in real bugs outside. They'll end up in the birds outside. They'll go into their brains. They're going to start, like, making them do weird things, not just fly into, like, the ground like they did here and there. Who knows? That could have been a bunch of nanos, right? They released a bunch of nanos, and they all landed in all the bird trees with the birds. And then, like, they burrowed up their feathers into their little furry. See, they're kind of like a half mammal. See, birds are the bridge. Aviary. See, we usually talk about evolution like first is like pond scum, and then it was like fish, and then like the fish were kind of getting legs on the shore, and then they were becoming like frogs, and the frogs eventually became lizards, and the lizards became dinosaurs, and then the dinosaurs became birds. But they usually split. They don't go to birds. They say the dinosaurs, eventually mammals formed and started eating dinosaur eggs, which killed off the dinosaurs. When certain famous books like the Urantia book basically just says the dinosaurs simply died off for one simple reason. It's just so simple. See, the answers are so simple. They were too stupid. Just like people, right? That's going to be their simple solution. The humans died off. They were just too stupid. Their brains are too small for the body. That's it. Simple solution. We got it. It's done. Let's put it in the books. Like as if we had books. You know what? I got a cough. Hold on a minute. Got to shrink this thing down. I'm sort of looking at my thing while I'm talking. But I couldn't really concentrate on it anyway. So it really probably went like fish, amphibian, lizard, and then avian, because an avian is a warm-blooded dinosaur. It's basically a lizard with wings. Yeah, the wings are really like scales. They're just elongated scales, kind of like hair. And then they also have hair. The scales and feathers kind of became hair. And hair and fur kind of different versions of each other. Then it wasn't like a dinosaur anymore. It was just full mammal, total mammal, not a bird anymore, not a half dinosaur, half mammal, just a mammal. Now we have humans. And basically, who knows, maybe they rule us. They all rule us. Everything rules us. Everything rules us from above, from below, from around, from corners, from freaking shadows. And come down from space. They're coming up from the ground. They're grabbing us in the ocean, getting nanos in the air. I mean, they're just hammering us. Hammering me. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I mean, God. Free energy. And again, you know, I don't like to say I'm a free energy inventor because I'm a universal spirit. That one of the side effects of what I normally naturally do is find ways to improve life and advance things scientifically, physically, and spiritually. And one of the many things I've done, figured out, and researched, as a little note, is free energy. I'm not a regular guy who just figured out and stumbled on free energy because I just happened to be pretty good at electrical engineering, had a shop, and just played around a lot. And, oh, wow, look what I found. You know, like I think I can tweak that out and do something with it. Whoa, whoa, 1% more energy come out. Yeah, it's a revolution. Now, how about put nothing in and get a ton out? How about, like, practically, for all practical purposes, zero drag, zero resistance, normal output. Normal output or greater output with no drag, no electromagnetic drag, no flux drag, no resistance, no magnetic resistance. That would be drag. That would be like, and I've talked about the cutting the lines of forces. I keep saying it differently sometimes. And you kind of need to. You need to throw people off guard so they research things anyway and look at things in proper order or in a new way because things are too locked in, too solidified, too crystallized, too, as a matter of fact, as if people understand the word when it's really just a word. They're not even really analyzing as it goes through their mind what it really means or used to mean or what it should have been named when it could be named the proper name. And, wait a minute, need a drink here. See, I have to sweep the floor. There's some mats out there. It's like a mix of clay, dirt, sometimes mud, and leaves and all the leaves and all the needles and stuff blowing and cobwebs and all that. but I'm dragging stuff along and the dirt part gets on the mat part, and I keep having to sweep it, and I keep choking on the dust. Plus, there's like animals mostly used to. Don't have severe allergies to, but like when you go away from things for a while, and you get used to not having animal fur and smoke and cigar stuff around, you know, your lungs and throat get used to not having the agitation. Then suddenly you go back to it, and now it's, you're not completely used to it, although fairly so, but not completely. Now your throat is agitated. And I just keep doing this back and forth kind of thing. Like I'm cleaning things, I'm shaking things out too, I'm getting laundry ready, things like that. And it messes up my show. That's why I sort of feel like I'm gonna cough here with the tickle stuff in my throat a lot. Cause for years, I've been out of my element. I've been away from home. It's like playing a game. You know, you're not on your home territory. I've been long since out of my home territory. I've been long since on my own, out in nowhere. I don't even consider myself in civilization compared to what it should be or could be, and partly compared to where I came from. I mean, it's civilized people and get stores, and of course we have Walmart. Of course there's Walmart. It's probably a Target around too. Of course there's Burger King and stuff like that. A lot of those places are all closing down, just like banks, and they're all going to. Some of us have to make it through. I don't know if I'm going to make it through, but if I don't make it, folks, my afterlife, someone is going to be paying. You do not do this to someone like me. You do not make me jump through the hoops I went through. Did what I did, as long as I did them, as many times as I did what I did, as far as creativity goes, writing things down, bothering to draw stuff, take as many notes as I have, critical notes, and things I could have made tons of money on. A little comedy here, a little skit there, a little movie there, a little book there, little pin or bumper sticker thing here, a nice t-shirt. You know how many times I could have made a little bit of money here and there? I probably could have made money on Hallmark. How freaking pissed I'm going to be if I freaking kick the bucket and my stuff is left with this in this world the way it is, especially if it gets thrown out. I'd rather burn it. I'd rather the enemies get it. I'd rather the enemy just get it. Just come and take it. Come and take it. I got free energy stuff in here in my boxes. I got nuclear science. I got antimatter stuff in here. Oh, man, I got weapons. Oh, yeah. Oh, come and frickin' take it. Come and take it. See if you can, actually, because you probably wouldn't be able to, but I hate this world. I see hope. I do see hope. I see reason for there to be hope, but I am sick of the juggling act and the false hope, and then kind of have it taken away and a little bit of a threat here and then some hope again, then a threat, then a hope. Like, it's just, what the, I mean, I am sick of this drag on. Just dragging on. I mean, just nuke the freaking place. It's the only way to be sure. I say the same thing. I've said the same thing Solaris says. Just the same thing from Aliens, or whatever the first one's name was, Alien, or whatever the, there was a different name, I think, to the first Alien series with the monster alien, the Sigourney Weaver. And, you know, it's like, yeah, we're all going to die, man. We're all going to die, that kind of thing. Well, chances are they were all going to die, and most of them did. Actually, everybody did die. He was right. Wasn't being just simply scared. He's like, damn, this is a bad situation. This is like real bad. See, we're in that situation. It is that bad. Things are that bad. And I'm sick of the excuses and the coping mechanisms and the placating and the ego stroking and the patronizing. I don't need a mother going, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. Maybe it might be, if you do something about it. No one, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of rallies and protests I loved in the trucker stuff. I lost track of the trucker stuff. I don't know what's going on in Canada, Australia, Italy. I don't know anything. I don't know what's going on in Ukraine. Hell, there might not be a Ukraine anymore. Right, it might be a whole new name with a different flag. I don't know. See, I'm the kind of guy who wants to know everything, be involved in everything, at least from behind, at least from, not that kind, but, you know, like in a bat cave, right? You know, just scour the internet, scour the news, scour, gather, see what can be done, kind of prepare for the future, help certain key people here and there who need it, that you've been focusing on, looking on, watching, maybe protecting. Something. Eventually interject politically somewhere, interject legally somewhere else, maybe do a rally, maybe be part of a protest, maybe make sure you vote this time, or make sure you don't bother. And hopefully you say the right thing to the right people at the right time. And little chain reactions over time will build up if enough people do things like that, get back to being together and interstitially entwined in a way that can't be broken, so that lines of communication are always open one way or another. Ways of getting what you need are always going to be there one way or the other, and that eventually you'll be strong enough to have a real fight if it comes down to that, if you can't prevent it. And actually come to the brink of oblivion and but still be the ultimate survivor. I don't want it to be just a few survivors. I used to be okay with that. I was settled on. I'm like, that's, I mean, I think that's the best we can do. Me, you, our families, that's it. Hopefully a little group. Maybe we'll extend that. We'll get a bunch of our teenager friends. Maybe this, we'll just feel it out, see how it goes, see if they're still punky or which direction they get to go, good or bad, how open-minded they are scientifically or to, see if they're not strung out on drugs or something or become thieves or too much of a bully, or too many, just see if people can get along who have a lot of differences. Because the only way a nation or a group can work is if we all know how to handle each other's differences and we can cope with differences a lot easier than other groups and religions and sects and cults and authoritarians who do not want to deal with any differences. They want everything to be their way and only their way. One way tunnel vision. They want it to be one track. That's it, one track. One train, everybody on it. And they're the ones in control. And if they want to drop you off in the end and disconnect you or send you over a cliff, they send you over a cliff. I got to get rid of that cancer. Up, that group's different. Separate that car. Blow up that car in between. That's gone. Now just reconnect the two sections again and force everyone to live together our way again. And you got Snowpiercer, that movie that came out again. That's just getting ready. That was just preparing you for, like, eating bugs, things like that. That was just telling you about the Illuminati and how the classes are and how it's good this way. Again, just reiterating, class separation. The back of the car, the middle of the car, the middle class, and then the ruling class. And then we got the kids working, doing all the physical work and fixing all the parts. Their hands are small. That's okay if they lose them. They're small. Don't you know? And they'll just keep the free energy train going. Who knows if they were implying nuclear or free energy. The way that thing looked like a Searle free energy anti-gravity motor, except for the connecting parts in between under the floor in Snowpiercer, the movie, the train, near the front of the train. So you got those rolling tubes, right? See, there's a bunch of sci-fi movies that are implying the Searle, John Searle, S-E-A-R-L's free energy generator. And of course I met him, I was going to work with him, and now Jason Gravelli is working with what he left behind, building some of them, and their anti-gravity and free energy, and ultimately work by, there's an electrical, they're really like sort of a big rolling Faraday generator. It's really what it is, it's sort of a Faraday generator disc, only naturally superconductive. And with no eddy current loss, the eddy currents actually serve to create anti-gravity. And it's just a bunch of roller tubes, like cylinder magnets, rolling around the outside of a cylinder. And so, of course, a little more complicated than that. It works mathematically with the law of squares, of which I've seen and all that, and never had a complete grasp on exactly, but I got the basic idea, which was one of my goals growing up, things like that. And basically, it's like just a bunch of, it's like holding a battery, like you have a AA battery. Just pretend there's just a flat bottom and the top is also flat, no bump. And basically look like those, only silver, right? Rolling around like a ring. Flush up against it. Only they're magnets. But they're Faraday generators. They're Faraday discs. They're paradox generators, only like the best kind. And, so as they roll around, they generate electricity and form eddy currents inside the ring. And this little eddy swirls like little vortexes ahead of the tube as it rolls forward and behind the magnetic cylinder. Not a tube, it's not hollow, it's solid, but it's got like four layers or something like that. Yeah, about four. So So when that builds up, when that rolls around, it's generating electricity, but the electricity pushes outward anyway. So electricity is being formed in the ring. They're rolling on and around. But electricity is being formed from the inside of each cylinder magnet outward to its outside. So electricity is radiating outward in a radial kind of way, being pushed to the outside, building up on the outside of the cylinders, and spreading from the inside of the ring outward. So it's like electricity is meeting electricity, and it's all being interfered with by the rolling action. The rolling action generates electricity, but the rolling action is a magnet moving, which is affecting the motion of the electrons that have built up electrostatically, sort of like it builds up like an electrostatic buildup charge. And so it's magnetic and it's electrostatic. And it's like two charge sources radiating outward and colliding onto the outer ring on all the surfaces. And that has to do with how it, when he has a plunger suddenly, when a cylinder passes by under this plunger, this electrical plunger, it's got like a spring on it. It's like triggered to move towards it and hit it, collide with it, and it picks up the electrostatic energy. As soon as the electrostatic energy drops, like it hits it and bounces back, and it lets it continue rolling. But that makes that side drop, like tilt. It loses anti-gravity ability for a minute, like some anti-gravity ability. So the tilting of the little UFO thing creates the forward motion effect. If you tilt it, it will move in the direction it's tilted. But see, it's electrostatic. The whole thing's electrostatic. It's a Faraday disc. And I forgot exactly why I started. Oh, the reason I brought that up is it's in other shows and movies. Uh-oh. That's the break. It's time to donate. Click, give me click, click, click. Check out the Zazzle store. Buy some good stuff. Maybe a mug from your favorite host. There's at least two out there. And Crypt Ricks and the Mechanics, I know. I'm pretty sure both. Okay, this is Bill Grant. This is Argon. Back in five-ish.
Brian Rouge Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Rue Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
The pill has been taken. The blinders are off. Are we in the end game? Or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened? With no choices. Different people have different points of view. When it comes to creation versus evolution, my point of view, we were created to evolve. The Red Pill. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B. www.freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Check it out.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two swerving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fam. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Argon with Bill Grant, only at Revolution Radio.
And I'm back. This is Bill Grant, your host of Argon on Revolution Radio on the 16th. I think I forgot to add. On Revolution at revolution.radio, freedomslips.com. Awesome place. We're going to be here. If anything ever ends, it'll be us right to the end, folks. Maybe not me. I might not make it. I never freaking know. I don't even really care anymore half the time. Sometimes I think what an awesome future it's going to be. I'm going to get through it like I squeak through with help, like I've had help, and it gives me like a ton of hope. It's like, yeah, the world is a better place. People are willing to help, and it's working. It's working. Things are getting saved and prepared and going through everything. I'm finding the things. I'm rebuilding my mind and rebuilding my memories and finding things I didn't expect to find, but I still haven't found certain things I really wish I did find, which is very unexpected, and I think I lost a gold ring, of which I wanted to give to some future donor, possibly. All I want to do is take pictures of certain things before I give or sell them, and hoping I'd have, and I think I do have enough to get, like, a battery. I need a battery for the camera that I have. I bought a pretty nice camera really cheap, like over a year ago when I still had some money. The idea was to take pictures of things I was going to sell, show a lot of people, and of my work, document my work and what's going on, and take some pretty cool pictures sometimes, sunsets or whatever, maybe too, things like that. But, and it's a full moon tonight-ish, anyway. But it's April 16th, 2022. And by the way, 11:05 p.m. here in North American East Coast time, station time. And basically, like that would be the only requirement. I would not want to part with pretty much anything unless I have pictures, digital pictures of things, and especially valuable gold rings, especially ones passed down, that I really would not want to part with anyway, because you need the energy from it to help you stabilize in life and acquire value one way or the other anyway. But but either way, I would have parted with that particular one. Just wanted to, but I tried to sign up for an Amazon thing so I can just order the battery, which they're pretty cheap, and then I could use it to make money pretty soon and maybe even pay back some of the donors who, if they were strained or whatever, if they need anything back, try to do what I can and eventually get on my feet and be making real money and then give whatever I can back, if not, you know, give forward kind of thing, if nothing else. So, but either way, everything's an investment into future projects, which is for ultimately everyone, not just me, but if nothing else, a small group of deserving people that I would choose for it to, you know, for them to have. And, but like I go through this thing, they want you to sign in and I can't sign in the normal way anymore. You can't just link up and can't just simply sign up. You know, they want a phone number that they verify instantly. Again, I don't have a phone and I've kind of been waiting for one. I could have gotten a government phone. And of course they want everyone to have the trackers, permanent check-in tracker, like for the police, like what was going on in Australia. I'm against them. I'm against 5G. I'm against normal G. I'm against frequency this and Wi-Fi that and all this crap and tracking this and tracking that. And I'm not too worried about it health-wise, at least the older phones. You know, you just limit it. Limit use. And, of course I want to keep in touch with people and use internet and modern technology, and they want and they demand everyone have a provable phone number. It's none of their damn business. I shut the whole thing down. I went to order. I spent 4 hours after last show looking for this damn thing, found what I needed, finally figured I'm going to order the thing. It was actually a whole little kit, because I do need a memory card for the thing too. It kind of finally dawned on me. It doesn't have a memory card in it either. It's a really expensive, nice camera, but it didn't have the battery. It has a charger and everything. Already had that with it. But I would have needed like $30 total or something to get a little kit. Would have been the cheapest way, or 20 something plus tax or whatever. You know, you get the card. Like one way it's cheaper if you get one, you get the little kit, you get two batteries and you get a new charger with the new car plug in extra, and you get the memory card. That's a good deal. Yeah. Things always fall apart. I need to document everything I can. I need as many things to document my projects, my notes, my discoveries, my life, and to sell things. And I did all this work, long, tiring myself out, need to freaking get to bed so I can get up in days and work on stuff so I can have everything safe weather-wise. I cannot stay in the carport with my stuff. Everything was pushed out, and it's only temporarily safe. And I have a lot of things outside that have been packed and put outside. But there's still a lot of work and things to need to be found so I can work with people that I'm willing to work with to make money who are involved in things like energy. And my whole future depends on it. And everyone's future might depend on it, to be honest. For all I know. like between a bunch of me's out there with a bunch of different groups out there collectively. And basically, I need to show people what the hell's been going on so they freaking believe me for one. And so I can make money, so I can get myself together, so I can get a place, so I can get a shop, so I can start building things and prove even more. Get a home, get a page up, get my own other site, maybe an ad here and so on. Until then, I really shouldn't even be saying almost anything. Because all this was supposed to hit by surprise by an underground group. Everything's trashed. Everything everybody does gets followed, watched, ripped apart, piece by piece by piece. They're so ahead of us. You're so ahead of us in every single damn way. Every single plan, I think I have a way out or more time, and I'm buying time and I'm making progress, and there's a good perfect plan, a perfect gradient bridge of phases, phase this, phase that, phase two, phase four, phase five of development in a perfect setting, it gets shredded one way or the other. It gets diminished, it gets slowed down, it gets things put in the way, it gets dropped, gets diverted, accelerated when there is no real need to accelerate. My way is the fastest way. It looks like it's going to be a long way, a long time, and it never is. My way is the most methodical, most complete, and final, and ultimately is the fastest, which you get the most from. I wouldn't have survived this world at all if it wasn't for that, other than giving in to things like the CIA and FBI, government, cults, and a whole lot more. But I'm not a sucker. And I didn't sell my soul. But, man, I keep getting too damn close to this edge. I'm just sick of this game. But again, thanks for the help I've gotten. It really, really has helped so much. It's taken the edge off. But, today was a real hot day. And I'm hot now. And I keep going usually from being too hot to too cold, then too hot again. Or just chronically cold. And it's just a damn mouse. I don't know what to do outside. I don't know. I might have to put the poison, green poison blocks in the little plastic hut thing for it to go in and give it a horrible death. And it might be a bunch of them. It might just be one, might be two or more. I'm not sure. But once I found that trash I left out while I was talking too long with the lights out, it was pretty much over. Now it's back in force. And it will probably just keep pretty soon start tearing through my stuff. And I cannot allow that to happen. So I may be doing that right after the show, folks. I don't know. I'm going to be checking emails. But, you know, please donate to the station either way. And again, it's to keep the dream alive, free speech alive. Keep people informative. More likely, mostly what really is going on out there behind the scenes, behind the snooze. We're not the snooze. We're the news. That might put you to sleep once in a while. I might shake you out of your tree once in a while too. But we are not the snooze. Okay, we're not the Soviet Stasi. Freaking what did they used to call it? I don't even remember that either. God, but I need a drink while I'm talking. Hold on. Oh, it's a good thing I didn't give in to alcohol. See, like I have said, I quit things because I liked them too much, and I knew the consequences ever since I was a child. I always knew all the bad consequences of going down all the different paths right away. Smoking, regular cigarettes, drinking, drugs, everything. And once I did start to drink some, and then it started being too easy and too good and tasted a lot better in some cases than I thought it was going to taste, And some of it was an acquired taste, of course, too. And even as a kid, like, I was against beer, but down at the beach one day, me and a friend playing on the rocks in the sun, it was super hot, and someone's like, hey, man, we're, like, looking at the beer, nice and cold, low and brow or something, and it's like, yeah, you guys, you're kind of underage, but, and you guys look hot, just, you can take some of this, guzzle it down, super cold, see? I don't really like the taste of it, but you know, when you're super thirsty and it super quenches your thirst and it's kind of like soda too, with the bubbles, it immediately kind of gets you hooked. I didn't become an alcoholic or anything like that. Generally never bought alcohol or beer still, but you can get hooked just like that. And I was probably 10 years old. Plus I was given a little beer when I was three and four by my mom's boyfriend. But as soon as I started getting a hold of that, you know, different things, and I was against things spiritually. I was against all that spiritually and the physical damage it would do to your body and mind over time. And of course I knew it had benefits, and of course moderation, things generally work out, and self-discipline is ultimately the final key. Responsibility. You know when to pull out. Well, that's what I did. I pull out. I was even worried about going getting coffee as a kid. I got hooked on coffee when I was like 9. I'd go to the office a lot with my mom. They'd have coffee for everyone in the office. We'd have coffee. I'd add a lot of sugar and cream. It'd be like coffee milk, like hot chocolate coffee milk kind of thing. I got hooked on it. And I was like, nah, I'm a little worried. I don't want to become like adults. I don't want to be a caffeine addict. And then ultimately I become a security guard. Or you have to work at a factory. You got to have that coffee. Got hooked. Can't get rid of it. So everything is in a sense a drug, of course, but we don't want them to label anything as a drug by any legal terminology. And there's just still too many people that are. If you pretty much illegalize almost anything, see, like fentanyl, I was just talking about this again before. Fentanyl might be rocket fuel. You don't know if it'll produce anti-gravity. You mix it with the right chemical or put it in the right drink. Everyone has the right to analyze and scrutinize and to test everything for themselves. And to be responsible and self-disciplinarians of their self. You don't need an authoritarian who doesn't do it or who does do it being hypocritically tell us what they believe is good or bad for us, even if generally the outcome is bad. And if a lot of bad outcomes, a lot of deaths come from it, then the more deaths there are, the more and more careful people are who do use it or have it or just simply analyze it chemically and figure out they may want to use it as a weapon, because everything is a weapon. And the reason fentanyl should be legal is because if you're invaded by the Chinese and you want to slip some fentanyl in their food or drink, then you need fentanyl. It's like fentanyl with a Y, I believe. Not really technically fentanyl, but well, it might end with A-L. It's fentin. The tin is T-Y-N maybe. I forgot, but anyway. Everything is a weapon, and everything's about self-discipline, and everything in the universe, every single soul comes down to self-discipline, no matter what. Everyone has to go through the trial and the test and actually have to handle things themselves. And the only way anyone ever knew what was good or bad for anybody, poison or not, is because someone tried it. And generally, most of the time, it was okay, or let's say someone overdosed finally. Well, now we know. Now we know not to take that much. And if you're pushing it to the line, then it's your damn fault. Then pretty soon, evolution will take its course, and all stupid people who have dim brains are prone to addiction, or egomaniacs that think they're tougher than everybody else. Good, then they die off. Good. We don't need those kind of people. Let them. And if they ask for help, help them. Then you should give them help. And one kind of help is alternative now considered alternative medicine, they call it, and drugs, which are not, which are natural, and are, it's irrelevant whether it's a drug or not, of which the solution to just about everything exists, of which they're blocking, so their arguments are self-eliminating because they do have the cure, or they do have a way to get you off of, you know, to bring you back in a smoother manner, or, you know, get you not hooked anymore. What's the word? I mean, I'm too stressed myself right now. I probably need drugs. I don't know. Oh, God. But anyway, I'm glad this isn't actual coffee. This is decaf, even though decaf is probably worse for you than coffee. But, of course, I can't have coffee before going to bed. I probably won't be able to go to bed anyway. I'll be looking at the walls for 3.5-inch wood spiders. They're probably, it's like probably a wood spider. You know, it's like brown with little lines, dark and light, kind of mini lines, kind of stripes, sort of like that. That's all it probably is. But, man, I kept trying to get it. Kept dropping. Thought I might have got it. Might have got away. Might not. Kicking back in the chair, looking up. Spider! Nope. It's back. And crawled all the way up the wood thing against the wall again. And I think I'm going to get it this time. I'm going to be faster this time. This time I'm not going to use the broom. Things are in the way. This time I'm going to use it. No, I have to use the broom this time. Real fast. Think I got it. No. Went behind it. Didn't even know it could even really even have anything to squeeze behind. Nope. Disappeared. And I'm kicking back again, like thinking maybe I did get it. No. I was pretty fast. I mean, I kind of squished it. Maybe it's just hurting behind there. Nope. Next thing I know, it's crawling up the same piece of wood. It's only lower this time. Going up, up. I should just let it. It keeps going up. Let it go up. Don't go down. Don't stay up. Go up, stay up, my friend. Don't come down to the floor, don't crawl around, or don't go near where I sleep, which it was kind of above where I sleep. So, then I try to get it again. Now, knock down, you hit the ground, it looks slow, then like the last second it instantly like moves out of the way somehow. And then I'm like, oh, that's like the third time. And it might have been four if it count that other time, if that was the same one. And I'm like, four times. It can't kill this damn thing. Maybe that's a sign. Maybe it should live. I mean, it's probably not going to touch me. It's probably just going to eat bad other stuff. Maybe it'll get the mouse. The mouse chews my stuff. The spider won't chew my things. Maybe I'll want it to live. That's why the mouse is a freaking mouse took off. It's like, that thing's gonna eat me. I'm out of here. That thing's a beast. So I didn't know what, you know. I'm just kicking back again. Okay, that's gotta be it. The thing must have ran off. Nope, crawling up the side of my thing right in front of me again. Only a little closer and closer. Think I'm gonna get it this time. Use a tube this time. I'm pretty fast. Real fast. I see it jump back. Like a half a second before the tube hit. It might have hit it when it jumped into the, might have jumped into the tube. I thought it killed. I can't find the dead body, but they shrivel up. They blend in with dirt. It's kind of behind stuff. I don't think I killed it. Things crawling around. Freaking beast out there. All the other little black and red ones. So, you know, kind of stressed. So anyway, to go back to the free energy thing in the movies. See this, the show Andromeda. You know, with Kevin Sorbo, who's a cool actor I like, and I hope to work with someday. And you know, one of the engines to the ship, if you look at the diagram, like the computer thing, they show Tyr messing with the engine room or something. That's what a Searle engine looks like. That's what powers the Andromeda ship in the show Andromeda. The Andromeda Ascendant. The living system, the living AI. Of course, they're spreading the concept of AI, which I'm not entirely against, just against the rulers making their version, today's version, now. And then you have the show Lucy, and she's in a chair, which goes through time, or seemingly, or it's just showing her the past. And that's like the chair again. They keep showing the chair, the chair, the chair, the UFO chair, the chair, the chair that's powered by your genes, powered by your frequency, powered by your mind, the aliens chair that we got from the UFO ship and ones in the Philadelphia experiment connected versions in Fort Hero and other things. The chair keeps coming up again and again and again. Atlantis and Antarctica and the chair down there in Antarctica and in Stargate, the chair again, the chair. It's always the chair, isn't it? Why is that? Because they're always putting everybody in chairs and shoving things up their nose and putting implants behind half into their brain, into their optic nerve. That's why. Always testing people in a chair, aren't they? That's probably the real reason why something landed on my arm. I'm always conscious of anything I feel, anything under my clothes, every little thing. I'm worried things crawling up my legs. I gotta wear the long johns just in case something crawls up my pants and crawls under the covers, which something did. I got bit the other night, kind of closing in near my crotch. It wasn't my crotch, but it was like on my leg. Big welt mark. On one side they can get in, on the other they can't because it folds over. The blankets fold over. And I got bit. Freaking giant spider welt. And maybe I rolled on it. I don't know. Maybe it was my fault. I tell the universe and the subconscious, the great beyond, the masters, don't let me kill anything by accident if there's no need to kill it. So if a spider accidentally crawls, you know, inadvertently, doesn't know it's me, doesn't know I'm there, it's not going in to bite me, it's just looking for food, hunt things down. The killers that they are, and the careless killers, and doesn't know it's on a living life form. I move, and it bites because it thinks it's under attack, or I just roll into its fangs. I'm crushing it, killing it. It's going through agonizing hell if they feel any pain, because they say they don't feel pain, or at least not fire, or certain types of things they don't have the nerves for it, or something like that. And I'm not entirely convinced because the body, the entire body itself is bioelectric, of which things happen through the skin alone, even chemically sending signals just right straight to the brain and stuff, and to electrical disturbances sent to beacon cells. Beacon cells go to the other nerves and then the brain or the spirit, and they might feel pain that way. And I say don't let it accidentally get under me or on me. Don't let it. Things are random. Let it randomly go around me. Let it find something else. I don't want to roll on it and have it go through a horrible death or feel like it's being murdered even if it doesn't feel pain and dying, scared or angry or like it's under attack or has it, have it lose its life. I don't want that to happen. Don't let it happen. It's not my fault. It's not its fault. Don't let it happen. Why did you let it happen? It's just their fault. It's the universe's fault. It's a big screwed up machine. What a broken planet anyway. Freaking half off kilter. Sun's about to freaking blow. Freaking everything's messed up. Just scatterbrain, freaking shattered reality here half the time. And I do not mean I'm MK Ultra, because I do not have a split personality. I am not working with a handler or anything like that. Hold on a minute. I'm going to take a drink, too. All right, back. Okay, anyway, the engine to the Andromeda Ascendant, if you look at it, essentially, for the most part at least, if not entirely, is exactly a Searle, one of the versions of Searle generators, and so is the Snow Piercers, the train's engine compartment. If you go there, it's just a bunch of rolling metal cylinders rolling around, all a bunch of them in a ring, rolling around the inside or around the outside of another metal object. They're all magnets. It's a free energy generator, folks. Unless they were implying magnetic transmissions and gears, which I do not think, because they did not imply that when the kid was working with his little hands in the little moving parts area underneath the floor plate. then the whole thing crashes, of course, in the end, and everything's a big mess. And, you know, it's all about the coming, basically it's the coming world disaster of, I think it's about, global warming caused, or nuclear war caused a winter, or it was global cooling at that time, which is more realistic, with the snowball effect. And, I think they said they were trying to fix the weather because of global warming, and they overdid it. So it was a global warming scare movie / book, I think. And then the answer to it caused the massive ultra cool down. Instead, they overdid it, way overshot, which is probably what they're going to do, will claim. And they need to keep the train moving. The Chinese were putting that, the new train system. That's one of the reasons the movie came out. It's all about, a new Silk Road, the new China Silk Road, the road to China, and all roads lead to China. Not Rome anymore. It kind of still does, but, and or Israel, right? So basically, what do they call it? The new, I don't know, it's like the new Chinese rail system everywhere, like into Africa, going into Africa, the Middle East, into Europe, and everywhere else. So it's like they can get all the resources from everyone and take, they can sell to everyone and take from everyone and send their troops, their military troops and equipment and tanks pretty much everywhere as well. With the deal they made with the New World Order issue and the New World Order religion issue, as usual. See, it's not built just for money. It's a military operation. Everything they do is a military operation. See, the same reason they built the bridge to Hong Kong or Taiwan or whatever, when they finally finished the longest bridge. Oh, yay, oh, we're so good at building, we're such good builders, and see, we're doing such awesome work. Oh, it's for tanks. It's a takeover. Took them 10 years to do it. The next freaking day they built it, they sent a whole bunch of tanks to conquer the place. Okay, not quite exactly that literal, but just about. That was the whole plan, the whole damn time. The entire time. The whole time. Everything they do is a militarized plan. It's a strategy. So all these shows show these free energy generators inside of them and anti-gravity / gravity machines. The soul generator. Soul generators in both of them. Again, ultimately, it's just an ultimate Faraday generator. It's really not even necessary. And what did John Searle tell us? He told us, he showed, you know, England, the Queen, and his military there, the Air Force. And when he went to show it, they said, oh, yeah, we have those. Oh, whatever, now we don't need it, thanks. Bye. Yeah, we got those. Well, why are you showing us? Yeah, no shit. Probably their gray freaking kids flying around in them. No shit. It's a vortex machine. It's electrogravity, electrostatic, combined with magnetism. I always say, what do I keep saying? Above and beyond what others say. When you combine electrostatics with electromagnetics, people keep talking about magnetism. I keep switching it over to electrostatic power. And if you alternate powerful electrostatic fields really rapidly at the right pace, things will float in their presence. And if you mix magnetism with electrostatics the right way, that will create anti-gravity like effects. And I do not say it actually is anti-gravity. I do not say electrogravity is gravity. I say it's electrogravity. It's not gravity. Gravity is just simply a self-shielding effect. It's a shadow effect. It's depression. It's simple greater pressure from outside pushing inward, because there's an etheric depression around all mass, because mass is the depression. That is what it is. It's a circulation eddy current, toroid field of ether motion currents, and differences in vibration patterns just simply create attraction. Spin, likenesses, and differences causes massive attractions and repulsions, and depressions or buildup of pressure in between spinning objects. Really, they're not objects, they're spinning ether patterns, and then you have the cymatic vibrational, It's like, it's a cymatic effect, but it's like frequency, enhancement versus, it's essentially when light merges with light waves. It's interference patterning, whereas one enhances and one's destructive. So you have creative interference versus destructive interference patterns, and they also add to or subtract from the gravity and or magnetic effects of spin. That's ultimately all the answer really is. Then everybody wants to get all extra fancy and say there's all these different types of particles. And in a way it's true, in a way it's not true at all. It's just a spin and vibrational effect ultimately, and that's it. And it shields itself. It's ultimately a big shadow. And the ultimate shadow effect causes attraction. And if you combine the right spin effects electrically, electromagnetically, and statically, you can overcome the base pressure differences by magnifying certain effects by force against the natural gravitational pressure from outside. That's not gravity. That's not anti-gravity, exactly. That's not like... It's not exactly, it sort of is and sort of isn't. It's not though. Natural gravity is just weak as hell. That's gravity. Just simple gravity is gravity. A way to overcome gravity by electrogravity and magnetic magnification effects are not the same. They are very similar. There's an exact bridge, and they're pretty much, there's an exact link. But one is magnified, one is not. You have to magnify the other effect for it to work. Everything else just simply settles into an equilibrium that ends up being mostly neutralized, mostly weak. And then they can take matter and force it by force. It has to be forced into a certain state where it's locked onto an anti-gravitational state. So it has less gravity per se mass, or it's anti-gravity and floats. Generally, though, supposedly it's just a reduction of gravity, not just anti-gravity. It's really just a reduced gravity mass effect through certain types of materials they've been able to create. And one of the things in some UFOs, supposedly, is what they call the lofting cake. And that would be an anti-gravitational material, at least if charged up in a charged state or vibrated, if necessary at all. It simply has negative weight. Therefore, they do not need to exert electricity or pressure or magnetism or thrust or electrogravitation to hover. So it saves energy, if nothing else, a lot of energy. And ultimately, you only need a balloon for that. Ultimately, you just need a metal balloon, a super strong, ultra light, nearly indestructible balloon shaped in any shape you want with as many compartments as you can make happen. And it would just float. And then you can control its direction electrically and so on. But anyway, the free energy, and I think I may have misspelled Eklin, because sometimes it's E-K-L-I-N. I'm not sure how I said it on one of my last couple shows on either Dreamer or Argon, but John Eklin is definitely also E-C-K-L-I-N. I quickly looked, that was the main one I saw. I was like, yeah, I guess so. I don't remember what I saw. I don't remember what I was thinking it really was for a while. I know it's everything in every way. But see, John Bedini is one of the other famous guys. He's dead now, and I knew him a little bit. And he knew how to make gold. And he put that out in a video as well. I can't remember exactly how, but it's chemically. You just basically put something in a vat, and it slowly just turns to gold. That's it. That's how you do it. And wait a certain amount of time. Later on, you pull it out, it's gold. But he was working with, like, Colonel something with the MEGs and the Easy Mig. And the MEG is related to the John Eklund motor generators because, as I was talking about the free energy breaking the lines of force, you have a rotating shield with holes, spaces in between the shielding matter, shielding material. So the shield is cutting between a magnet. Let's say the magnet would be on the left and the pickup coil or whatever, or another magnet, some kind of pump or piston would be on the right. And with a magnet on it, and could be perfectly linear. It could be be attached to a crankshaft. And I'm not sure how I explained it exactly correct. Like, in other words, it would be like a piston rod connected to a crankshaft of, again, turning anything you want, but not necessarily turning anything. Could be entirely rotary, could be entirely linear, perfect straight line, like a plunger, and no crankshaft. And could just be going through like a solenoid coil, or it just could be simply a coil, a pickup coil, like an alternator generator coil off to the side that the shield would cut in between. See, the shield would be unaffected ultimately or equalized by the effects of the coil and or the magnet itself. See, if a magnet was rotating in a normal generator system, it would be approaching the pickup coil, then passing it, approaching it, then pass. So it would be the rotor rotating, and it would approach and meet and then leave, approach and meet and leave and pass by the pickup coil. As it approaches and pulls away, it's generating electricity. By the act of approaching and being pulled away, that always causes resistance. The magnet itself, if rotated, if the magnet was to be moved, the magnet would be resisted. So you would lose energy. It would be tough to keep it moving. But with the shield is not resisted. Okay, the shield is not resisted. So the shield cuts in between the line of force, cuts the line of force. It's like they say generating, like when a wire or a coil is cutting the magnetic lines of force, cutting the lines of flux, cutting through, they put it in the terms of cutting the lines. It's really a bad way of putting it. It's not exactly accurate. And basically, the shield passes through, cuts the line of force for the magnet. The magnet does not move. It's stationary. It now is also a stator. So you have two stators. One is a magnet, and one picks up on a magnetic force, converting the fluctuation of that magnetic field into electrical current. But see, this is related to John Bedini combined with Colonel Something's MEG. Forgot exactly what it means. Electrical generator, the mini, I forgot exactly, the Easy Meg kind of thing. See, it works like John Eklund's, only in a purely electronic kind of way. Purely electronic. Purely state-of-the-art, no physical motions, except maybe the switch, the on-off kind of thing. And basically, you have a couple magnets sort of in a connected to a transformer pathway, made eliminations that circulate up and then down through the middle of through the middle, which has a pickup coil around in the middle. And then it goes down and out of the bottom splits. So let's just say this, it's like there's three sections. There's a left, a middle, and the right. And on the left and right, there's magnets in the middle, in between the laminations that go up out of the top and out of the bottom and circulate from, let's say they come out of the bottom, the laminations, the transformer parts, the iron transformation, transformer flux, flux gates, so to speak, almost flux gate, travels down and merge towards together and then merge into the middle section, travels up through the middle section and out the top, spreads outward and back down. Still all laminations, except for the pickup coil is around the middle. And then back to the magnet, the tops of the magnet. So basically, one is one direction, one is the other. And, this coils around the laminations above and below the magnets that are off to the side. And you put electricity into them because they choke off. They are the shield. They sort of shield. They choke off the magnetic field. They magnetize, they counter-magnetize the laminations that are connected to the tops of the and bottoms of the magnets. So it prevents the magnetic field flux from, let's say, coming out of the magnet, traveling through the iron laminations up and around in between the coil, which would normally convert to electricity. If it's just sitting there, it would do nothing. But if it fluctuates, if the magnetic field fluctuates at all, then it would generate electricity. Normal transformation science. Normal transformer science. The only thing in between, on one side, one magnetic field that would affect the middle coil section is being choked off because the coil above it has electricity is put into it, which has a magnetic field of its own, magnetizes the transformer laminations in the opposite direction, fighting the magnet itself, changing the magnetic current going through the middle field, while the other one is relaxed and allowed through. So the other magnet's magnetic field is allowed to continue through and merge with the electrical magnetism. It doesn't always, but so the magnetic field rises, traveling in one direction, let's say out of North Pole, up and then through between the between the middle where the pickup coil is, affects the pickup coil, it generates electricity. And then the reverse happens. The electricity is cut off from the other one and turned on the right-hand side, and the right-hand side now is the one that's choked off, and the left-hand side one is now magnified. So now it's the reverse direction. Now it's a south pole rising up and going down the middle. And the other side is blocked. And this side is magnified. So you get the effects from the power you put into it that are going through the transformer coils and the effects of the permanent magnet combined when the other one is choked down. And the mere act of shutting a power coil off actually causes a collapsing field if you time and tune everything properly. It takes time and energy to build up a field strength and to build up a current. But you gain, that takes extra energy to start anything. Anytime you turn anything on, first it's the initial resistance is super resistance. And then it drops down to normal resistance. But if you have a coil, then it's super resistance plus ultra super resistance as it builds up in the whole coil. And then it's just high resistance because it's choking itself, but it has a high magnetic field once you get it going. But if you cut it off, turn it right off, the act of turning it off alone suddenly causes a collapsing field. And it's like you have stored magnetic and electrical power in the coil, in whatever wasn't resisted and lost to resistance, now suddenly reverses current direction and gives you back a ton for a short instant. A bunch of energy back that you put in to get it going. So just the act of shutting things off causes you to gain electricity if you set everything up right. And that's part of the secret and part of the connection to using silver. It's a lot easier getting a silver coil to build up and a lot less loss for like three reasons, not just one reason, not just two, but like three or more. And then when you have a reverse, when you cut the power off and or reverse it, you get a sudden collapsing field, which is a reversal of anomalous out of nowhere stored up electricity, power coming out of your coil. that you put into it. You get it back. If you time everything right, you get most of it back, and you've gotten energy out of what you transformed or caused to move, or depending on what setup you use. So instead of having an actual rotating physical shield that blocks a magnetic field from a pickup coil or from another magnet, etc., you have the EasyMag type of thing. I think John Bedini worked with Colonel something on the EasyMag. They worked together either way. They knew each other either way. And you have entirely electronic state, no moving parts other than the on and off switches. And you have, it's a choke effect. So I kind of wanted to bring that up as well. And if you do it right, if you have the right amount of windings, and I always say, forget copper, go to silver. Silver is a lot less resistant. It doesn't, the initial resistance is a lot lower. The continued resistance is lower. And the coil resistance loss is a lot lower. And the gain back, therefore, when you cut the power and you get the collapsing field, you get more back when it collapses, which you can use for useful force, if not, resend it back to some battery or generally what, not a battery, some kind of condenser or capacitor, but depending on the voltage you have and all that. You can split it. You can do what you want with it. You can divide it up. But all these things can be mechanical and or solid state. So I did want to bring up again Eklin with E-C-K-L-I-N. I did want to bring up the Andromeda. And all these shows are showing the Searle generator and free energy generators in the background. It's even implied in Back to the Future, like 4 or third one or whatever, with the train coming. It shows a magnet, shows the thing rotating, shows like a U-shaped magnet and stuff on the side of it when they're talking, a rotating coil, helical copper coil, and a bunch of stuff. They're talking about nuclear power, but they're implying free energy. And again, the Snowpiercer, P-E-I-R-C-E-R, unless it's I-E after the P, That's a Searle generator. Practically speaking, it's just about a little bit extra long Searle generator. They have the long versions and they have the short versions. And those are the kind of things I had wished I could have built when I was a kid. I was dealing with and planning on overlapping fields and merging different fields, but overlapping a lot of fields and having fields fight each other. And having certain fields that are fighting each other be actually working with other sections of different fields that are working enhancing wise. At the same time, they're fighting and enhancing simultaneously. Different setups like that. So, let me see. Oh, man, was it a hot day? I hope Ivy's still with us. She was implying, who comes on at 6 o'clock earlier. Oh man, it's almost the end of the show. This is Argon. It is April the 16th, 2022. It's a donation station. We do need your help. I'm kind of probably going to need a lot more help too. If anyone's out there who has helped me or hasn't helped me yet and plan to, I don't need it today. I know I'm going to need it, over the weeks and then eventually after that. I still need a place to go to and a way to get there once I am fully safely packed up. I have everything else. I have enough money for things like, I do have enough money for a tent and a sleeping bag, and I have new shoes now, which I had, my other shoes were open, completely open in the front, flip-flops basically. Things like that. I will not buy any new clothes. I don't buy new clothes, anything like that. These shoes were a gift I was saving money for. They were helped for me also. And, so I don't really need those. They're not exactly the kind I was going to buy, but I don't need any shoes. So I'm going to need help, and I have enough for ID, which I'll be getting soon, eventually on a good day when I look good and I'll have time and I'm not working on immediate needs thing. I'm trying to straighten out my sleep situation so that I am able to get up and finish things and get to the store during other people's schedules and things like that. It's been like freezing nights and spider and rat nights, just chasing things around, trying to get them out of my stuff. Couldn't sleep, have to sleep half the day the next day. I was looking for my poison things, and now I have them out. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to kill the thing. I want to catch it, but I mean, I kind of could get my Billy bottle, but then I'd have to man it or rig up something to trigger the capture. I just don't have the time. I don't know what to do, folks. Maybe I'll have two mice soon. Maybe I'll have one live one and one dead one. Maybe more are on the way. Maybe more Borises are on their way. But pretty soon, if space opens up, I'll be putting that tent out there and moving just about everything into the tent, and I will not have a spider problem anymore and probably not a rat problem. But I don't know if I even have time to put a tent out there now anymore. The plan was to leave the carport into the tent, work in the carport with the computer to hook up with my past and to make money and to keep in touch with people and to start maybe selling things as well, maybe get the business going and be searching for a place to go, a safe way to get there and building up time and a little more money to pay for the trip out. I never know what to freaking think. I never know what the hell they're going to hit me with next time. Hopefully it's a lot better for a lot of people out there. Hopefully the world has actually gotten better since I haven't watched the news. It might have. It might be. Might be. You know? Maybe it is. Maybe for all the right people it's getting a lot better and no one knows it because of the news. That could be true. That definitely could be true. But a flux gate is a word to think about. The show, as far as archives are concerned, might have been recording may have just stopped or about to, even if I talk till the end of the show. Anyway, so Laris Blue Raven coming up next. And let me see. I think, is that the music? Oh, wait, no. Okay, oh, that's the end of the show, folks. This is Argon. Please donate. Keep the station alive. Keep us on the airwaves, in space, in time, in the archives. And please use the archives. Don't forget, the archives, I believe, are still free. Have a great night. And see you tomorrow night as Dreamer.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
And no, what call?